Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. You know, I was telling you Martin Lindstrom was going to join us, and I was teasing that he was. I thought he was somewhere on planet Earth. Apparently, I was wrong. Apparently, he is off the planet because we have not been able to get in touch with him. But we're going to continue to march you and me because I want to say something about the same topic that he and I were going to talk about. Why do people buy from you? What makes someone buy from you or not buy from you? Well, in the old days, and I've been around long enough to talk about the old days, folks. I have lots of gray hair. I didn't inherit any of it. I've earned all of it. And in the old days, people bought from you because you had what they needed and you were nearby. You know, if you think about small town America or wherever you may have lived, you know, the people you bought from them because they were the ones who sold what you needed. And yeah, you might have had a couple of options. You might could have gone to Penny's instead of Sears, or to Kroger instead of the A&P, but basically you didn't have that many options. And whatever there was to know about a product, you got that information from the person who worked at those companies, right? I was there. I did those. I was one of those people many years ago who the customers came in and they wanted to see what was new. And I was the person who told them that. Told them what was new. I was the one who educated them on what they needed to know. They came in knowing virtually nothing about what it was that I was selling and they were buying. And when they left, they had as much information as I could possibly tell them. And later on, when I started managing a territory in sales, I did the same thing for business customers. I would call on business customers. I'd go to their offices and their plants. And their places of business, and I'd knock on the door, and I'd say, "Hi, I'm Jim. How do you like me so far?" And they'd be waiting on me. They literally would be waiting on me, because, so to speak, because I had information. Even if they didn't want to buy, even if they didn't buy from me, I was their internet. I brought them information about products, about industries. The industry that I worked in, I brought them. I may have even had a story or two to tell them about how other people use our product. And probably I often did have that. And they would listen to those stories because that's how they learned about using different solutions that would help them run their business better, regardless of what the product was. And every time I walked in one of those businesses, let's say I walked into a plant, there was a waiting room full of guys just like me and ladies just like me, who were sitting there with their stories to tell. And the people, the customers, the purchasing agents, the plant managers, the plant accountants, the owners of the businesses, the managers, whatever their jobs were, whether it was a small company or a huge company. And I've called on all the way from Fortune, 20 companies down to the tiniest little one-person shop. I've done it all. But regardless, they were all waiting on me to tell them what they didn't know. And the other people in the waiting room, too. That's the way it used to be. And the way people made a decision to buy was they bought from the people who made the best presentation and who also had the good price and the good value. That was how the decision was made. Well, as you know, if you think about the way you consume things, if you think about as a business owner or as a consumer, if you think about the way you buy things today yourself, how often do you ever go into a business and to buy something where you know nothing about what you're going to be acquiring or what you're looking for. That's not how it works, is it? You are very knowledgeable. You are very much, to a large degree, in control. You may have a few questions, a few technical questions, things that you could have learned, but you just would rather have somebody tell you because you didn't want to do that much homework. But regardless, you came to that business, you came to that purchasing decision already pretty darn well informed, not only about what was available, what this company could offer you. You knew what their product was, how it compared to somebody else's product. You knew a lot about that. That's one of the reasons why you were at that business, because you've already kind of decided, okay, there are I've narrowed the six companies that make this product down to two, and I think I like this one better, so I'm going to go see those guys first. And that's what you do, right? That's how decisions are made, all the way from ketchup to cars to computers to battleships, right? I mean, that's the way the marketplace works these days. That's how people make their decision. So now, in the old days, as you've heard me say before, in the old days, customers only really had control of the buying decision. They didn't know anything about your product. They didn't know about how other people used your product and how successfully they used their product or your product or not. They didn't know any of that. So they had to learn that as much as they could, most of it from you. So you had a lot of control in those days. Today, you have almost no control if you're selling. The customer has almost complete control because they have all the information they need, save a little bit that you're going to give them, a few technical points you're going to tell them, which they can get from somebody else if you don't tell them. They'll get it from somebody else. They know about the product. They can find out about other people from online postings of reviews about how people use your product. And they, of course, they still have the ability to decide when to buy. Folks, this is why I'm calling this period we're entering the age of the customer. That's right. It's the age of the customer. You and I are less important as vendors. We're less important than we've ever been ever in the past. Because not only is there one other option, one other competitor, one other option for the customer in the town that we live in, and maybe two or three more in the town we live in, there are 1,000, maybe 1,000,000 online. But come back. I'm going to talk to you about how you can find relevance, how your company can find relevance in the age of the customer. And this is very important, folks. 20 after. Stay with me.
Say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out and using it to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. That's our plan. That's our goal. That's what we built it for. So I hope you'll check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow me there at Jim Blasingame. Okay, in the previous segment, I reintroduced, because I've talked about this before in different ways, what I'm calling the age of the customer. The age of the customer is where the point I'm making here is that every element of the relationship is completely under the control of the customer. You basically are, with one exception, you're merely the entity that delivers the goods and services it. And you could be a vending machine. You literally could be a vending machine. Think about that. You could be replaced by a kiosk. Now, I'm serious. Don't, you know, if you're asking yourself, is he serious? You know, I've got this business, I've got this building, I've got these salespeople. You know, I've got this going concern here. He's thinking I can be replaced with a kiosk. Yes, I mean that with all my heart. You could be replaced with a vending machine or a kiosk. And I don't care what you sell. I do not care what you sell. You can be replaced with one exception. And this is the only thing that you can do to find relevance for yourself, for your business, in the age of the customer. And here it is. Human beings, I'm going to keep coming back. I keep coming back to what Nesbitt said, John Nesbitt, you know, who's a member of our Brain Trusts. He was on the show, and he and his wife Doris were on the show a month ago. They're going to be back, I think, sometime this month. But he wrote in the book Megatrends, 30 years ago, he wrote this: human beings, the more human beings have high tech, the more high touch they will want. Now, I'm paraphrasing just a little bit, but that's the essence of it. The more high tech we have, the more high touch we will want. And so a vending machine is high tech, but it's not high touch. The customer knowing everything they need to know about your product and about other experiences and having the buying decision, all that, you know, a lot of that's they've been given that power by high tech, but they still can't get the high touch. And I don't know how long it's going to be this way. I hope for forever, but basically, as long as human beings are the way they are right now, we're still going to want to connect with other people. We're still going to want high touch. And so there's so many things out there that you can buy, and you can flip a coin one way or the other, you know, Pepsi or Coke, Chevy or Ford. I mean, there's so many things out there that it's really hard to make a decision, right? And think back on how you made that decision. How did you make that decision to go Pepsi or Coke or whatever it may be? You made the decision largely, and I'm using those obviously as metaphors. You made the decision largely, once you got it all boiled down to which way you wanted to go and what you wanted to spend and everything, you still probably had at least two choices that were pretty much 50-50. How did you make the decision? You made the decision by the people that you liked. There was one person, one organization that did something. They said something, or they did something, or they went the extra mile. They added some value. They the way they looked, the way they spoke, something about what you found with them caused you to feel good about doing business with them. The experience, folks. The only way you can be relevant in the age of the customer and succeed and get your share of the business is by making sure that your customers have, your prospects have an experience with you that makes them choose you over other people. That's the only thing, that's how business will be done in the future. They won't choose your product because they can get your product six ways from Sunday. They won't choose your price because there's always going to be somebody cheaper than you. They won't even choose your service. And I know this sounds counterintuitive, but they won't even choose your service probably, at least in the beginning, because they don't really know that much about your service. They won't even choose that because in the beginning, your service sounds like everybody else's service. Only thing that you can do to differentiate yourself, to find relevance in the age of the customer, is to make sure when people walk in your door, when they call you on the phone, when they click on your homepage, that you give them an experience that wows them, that knocks them off out of their socks, that makes them believe this contact is different, and I'm going to do business with them. Because pretty much, ladies and gentlemen, everything else is equal. Everything else is a commodity except for the experience. If you can't focus on that, if you're not focusing on that as you go forward in the 21st century, you will be totally unsuccessful or marginally successful. Think about that, folks. It's the age of the customer. You got to give them an experience. It's the only way you can differentiate yourself and be relevant. And take a quick break. 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.